the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls.
Glory to God.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. All right, while we're getting ready to have another testimony, does somebody else want to just voluntarily pop up?
I'm to thank God for the blessings that He's given my husband and I and our daughter for the last about 4 months. I got saved when I was 15, rededicated my life in June at the youth rally that Brother Danny came to. My husband got saved at the youth rally. That was a day I never thought I'd see. And we spent the first year and a half of our marriage living with his parents, jobless, moneyless, carless, had nothing. And in the last 4 months, we've moved down here. We got our own house, a car. He's got a good paying job. And it's been nothing but good things.
Amen. Isn't that good? All right, you go ahead now.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Isn't that good?
Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Look at a verse of scripture. Just going to be real quick and here this evening. And I hope it'll be a help to you this evening. Take just a few minutes tonight and bring you a thought here from the Word of God. I want to give you something that'll help you. And I want to talk about some prayers, our prayer life. And if you would please, we'll look over here in Psalm 66. If you look at Psalm 66, just real quick now, tonight, I'm going to give you this little thought, and I'll be out of the way here tonight, and we'll go. Because I know you've heard preaching. If you ain't right by now, I don't know if there's any hope for you. But if you're already right, we're going to try to give you something here that'll help you tonight before we go. Psalm 66, and I want to look just a minute here tonight, and maybe verse 18. Is there a Psalm 66:18?
Yeah.
And Jeremy, stand up there and read it for us real big and loud. Everybody look at it. Amen. So I want to preach just for a minute tonight on some prayers that God won't answer. Some prayers that God won't answer. Now, it's hard to get people to pray, and if you do these days, people say, well, I prayed and it didn't do no good. If I'm going to spend my time praying, I'm going to hope and pray that it does some good, ain't you? I really am. If I want to spend my time praying, I want to get an answer. To be honest with you, if I go a while in my life and I don't have any prayers answered, then I start to feel like something's wrong. Now, I want to say a few things about this tonight, and just really, really quick, you're going to be surprised at how short this message is, because I hope it'll be just a real blessing to you. And I want to say there's some things that can stop our prayer from being answered. And one of the things that he just mentioned in that verse is deliberate sin in our lives. When we have deliberate sin in our lives. Now, I know we all sin. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. The absolute best you can do is not sinless perfection. There is nobody in the world lived a sinless perfect life but the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a difference, a major difference saying, well, nobody's perfect, so we'll just go live like the devil. That is deliberate sin. We ought to have a goal and a desire to do right. There's something wrong with you if you don't have something inside you that wants to do right. I told somebody in the parking lot a while ago, sister, I said, you know, when I do something wrong, I feel awful. I feel miserable. I don't understand people who can just live for the devil on and say, oh well, I can just lay down and go to sleep at night. I remember I used to sort of feel bad before I ever got saved. I knew I was doing wrong, but I could go home and lay down and sleep. Now, since I got saved, I can't stand it. If I'm not right with God, the other day, I said something. Oh yeah, I was playing ball. This guy, big guy, he's a lot bigger than me. He's about as big as Jeremy. Me and him was running after the ball. And y'all know how I feel about sports, you know. I have people tell me, they say, well, it really don't matter I just play for the fun of it. It don't matter if you win or lose. I think you're crazy if something you think like that. I mean, I play a game, don't try to win. But I think you ought to keep your Christian testimony first. Your testimony ought to be first. Amen? No matter what, you keep a Christian testimony. Win, lose, or draw, whatever. You Christian testimony. Well, me and this guy, we was playing ball, and it was hot, and it was sweaty, and we was running after the ball. Somebody hit it, and it went over here like that. Me and him was going, I was going hard as I could, and he's going hard as he could. Stand up, brother. He was every bit as big as him. And strong, too, and tough. And I jumped, and when I jumped, he went after the ball and he threw the elbow up like that. He come around and hit me with his elbow right there, and I went down and my wrist right there went crack, and my hip bone went crack, and I went crack on that floor like that. It hit, honest to goodness, I ain't been hit that hard in a long time. For a minute, everything got black just for a split second. And when I hit the floor, I bounced back up like it's right here. And he was mad because I had the ball, and I got it. And I had it under my arm, and he just started walking off like that toward that door. And I went after him like that right there. And I was stopping like that, and I said, you're supposed to say you're all right. I shouldn't have done that, but I did. You'd have cussed probably if it had been you. I didn't say nothing to me. I said, normally when you knock somebody down, you're supposed to have them up and say, you all right?
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
And I walked up to him and I said, you're supposed to say, you all right? And he said, well, I got hit too. I said, please, you big baby. I mean, you weigh twice as much as I do. I mean, you're half as old as I am. And you got hit too. Wang, wang, wang. That's what I wanted to do. But I didn't. I didn't. I wanted to just go, bang, like that. But I didn't do that either. All I said was, if anybody tells you anything different, they're lying. All I said was, you're supposed to say you're sorry, ain't you? And he said, well, I got hit too. And all the other guys, they started dying laughing. They were like dying laughing. Man, I thought you was going to hit him. Man, I saw you going out there. And you know what? I went home and I felt terrible about that. That was Tuesday night. And the camp meeting was starting Wednesday night. And honest to goodness, I'll be honest with you, I felt guilty about going anyway. Because I thought, here it is, camp meeting night, tomorrow night. I ain't got no business going to play ball. I ought to stay here and play. I felt like I shouldn't even go. But I thought, I ought to give this up for the Lord and get my heart ready for the camp meeting. I can't believe I'm telling you all this. But I, honest to goodness, I'm telling you the truth. I thought I didn't even have no business going, and there I went and got in the flesh. Because I didn't invite that guy to church before. And I done backslid and ruined my testimony. And Brother Wayne was with me, my buddy from Florida. I said, Brother Wayne, I know. He said, I didn't know if you was going to hit him. I didn't know what. I thought, no, Brother Danny, no. Because when he hit me, I was in the air like that. And I went from here to there. Bow! And I bounced back up and just went after him like that right there. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. Ain't that right? And I got a lot of fight in me. And I went after him, but anyway, I felt bad. I felt terrible. And when I got home, I said, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. If I hurt my testimony, God, please forgive me. And Lord willing, I'm going to go this Tuesday. And I'm going to say, look, no, you ain't mad at me, are you? And I'm sorry for saying what I did. And but listen, I know what most of them have done. It would have done a lot worse. But anyway, you know what? It bothered me. When I started to pray, I'd start to pray and I'd think, now, no, you know what? You smart off somebody at work, or you say something you shouldn't, and you know it. You know it when you cross the line, don't you? You know it in a second when you've acted in a way that maybe ain't like a Christian should act. And the devil says, now you've ruined the camp meeting. God ain't going to bless the camp meeting. Because I said, no, Lord, please. Please, I'm sorry. Lord, I don't want to mess the whole camp meeting up. Just because some fool hit me. You might hear that on there. Just because somebody run into me. And Lord, please. But I'm telling you tonight, if you want your prayers answered, you got to try to live right. You got to try to live right. And if you're wrong, if you've done something wrong at work, or school, or something. You say, well, it don't matter how wrong they were. And he was wrong. It don't matter. You got to worry about how right you are. Brother Ed said, we are not responsible for other people's actions. We are responsible for our reaction. I can't help what the other person does. I can help how I react to it. Now, you say, well, Brother Danny, I would have said something to him too. Yeah, I know. I really wasn't wrong for saying something, but I should. My attitude wasn't right. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And I don't do that. I hardly ever do that. I just say, you know, I don't like to see people get mad playing sports. The way I look at it, 10 men chasing something that big, somebody going to run into each other. You might as well expect it. Can't take getting hit, go home. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, if you're going to cry every time somebody touches you, just get out of the way and go play with girls or something. So I expect to get hit. but I expect people to be a gentleman about it when they do. That's what they do. That's right. And so if you need to apologize to somebody and you blew your testimony at work, go make it right. Because it'll hinder your prayers. It can hinder your prayers when you deliberately have sin in your life. And let me say another thing. Prayers that the way you can get your prayers hindered is selfish prayers. Selfish prayers. Sometimes we pray prayers for selfish reasons or even the wrong motive. Bible said over there in the book of James, it said we have not because we ask not, and we ask and have not because we ask amiss that we might consume it on our own lust. In other words, if I ask something for the wrong reason, or if I ask God to do something for my own selfish motives, then that can stop my prayer. Let me just say it like this. If I said, if I didn't like somebody, and I said, Lord, give me $500. And the Lord said, why? And I said, well, so I can buy a gun and shoot him. See, that's the wrong motive. That's the wrong motive. You can't ask God to help you when you ain't going in the right direction. Can I say that again? Because I'm not going to preach long tonight. You can't ask God to help you or bless you when you're going the wrong direction. I can't go down here and say, now, Lord, I'm growing these grapes, and I'm going to make wine out of them, and Lord, I pray that you'd bless my crop. Lord, he'll curse them things. Amen. That stuff's cursed. Alcohol is cursed. It's got a curse of God on it. Anybody that makes it's got a curse. Anybody that sells it's got a curse. Anybody that drinks it's got a curse. It's liquid devil, brother. You can't ask God to bless that. You can't ask God to bless a wrong relationship. You can't ask God. I mean, you can ask Him, but it don't do no good. You waste your time. I've had people shacking up living together and saying, well, we're just praying the Lord will bless it. Well, I got news for you. If somebody walks up and gives you $1 million, that ain't the blessing of the Lord. Amen? I mean, just cause you get some, just cause you prosper don't mean God's blessing you. Just cause you get a raise at work don't mean God's approval of what you're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want God to answer your prayers, straighten up. Get in line. Line up with the book. I know it's hard. I know. It's any little old sissy can't do it. It takes a man to set his foot down or a woman to set their foot down and say, I'm going to do what that book says by God's grace, and if I have anything all right and if I don't have anything all right, you watch God bless you when you get that attitude. You can't cut corners and twist and lie and cheat and expect God's blessing to be on your life or Him answer your prayers. I didn't say you wasn't saved. Saved person can act all kind of crazy ways. But you'll not get your prayers answered. I've had people tell me, man told me one time, his wife left him and he said, I'm praying God is going to bring her home by such and such a date. And I said, you can't pray like that. I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. That ain't even scriptural. You can't do that. You cannot. You say, well, I'm praying. Listen, people. If you can't pray, if you could pray like that, I'd pick out all the lost people in Morganton and I'd say, Lord, save them by Christmas. I'm asking this in Jesus' name. You know what's wrong with a prayer like that? God will not override a person's free will. I'll tell you what's weird. Brandon mentioned it the other night when he was preaching. Here's Clemson Tigers, yes, they're playing NC State. And you got all these people in state saying, Lord, please let us win. And then you got all these people over at Clemson saying, Lord, please let us win. What does the Lord do in a situation like that? He ignores them. He ignores stupid prayers like that. Amen? There you go. I heard about a guy. These people said, I'm just talking random to you for a minute. I heard about this guy. It hadn't rained in weeks and weeks and weeks in this little town years ago. And the preachers got up and they said, we're going to meet Saturday morning on the courthouse lawn and pray for rain. And I mean, it ain't raining weeks. And buddy, I'm telling you what, they all come out there. Here come all the church members with their Bibles and everything. One little old boy brought his umbrella like this. And he brought it up and they said, what in the world did you bring an umbrella for? It ain't rain. He said, we'll come out here to pray for rain, didn't we? Amen. He's expecting it to rain. Amen. They thought, well, you crazy thing. It ain't raining weeks. It ain't a cloud in the sky. We're out here to pray for rain. Listen, he's the only one of them that really believed. That's a sincere prayer. But if you pray with the wrong motive, or you pray with some of you, God, give me this, and your motive ain't right, or your heart ain't right, or something, then here's what you do. You get down and you pray, God, you tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And 9 times out of 10, deep down in your heart, you already know. When a person has to come up to me and ask me if something right or wrong, 9 times out of 10, it's wrong, and they're just hoping they can find somebody that tells them, well, it might be okay in these circumstances. And you don't have to ask something wrong. I don't have to ask nothing. I don't know if I've ever asked anybody. Yeah, I did too. I asked my pastor one time. I used to go swimming 7 days a week to Moose Lodge. And we went over there every day. Well, almost 7 days a week. We'd go 4 or 5, no kidding. We talked Daddy into joining Moose Lodge when I was 15, 6 or so. We could go over there and go swimming because nobody had a swimming pool. We had one guy in our school had a swimming pool. We thought they stuck up rich people and they wouldn't let us come over anyway. Nobody had a swimming pool back in. And if they joined the Moose Lodge, you could go swimming there. So we talked them into joining that one over our Nebo. And we went over there swimming every day. And when I got saved, I kept going. And I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, I'm starting to sort of feel guilty. I said, I go to the Moose Lodge and go swimming every day. And do you think it's wrong? And he was real nice and gracious. And he said, well, are you witnessing when you're there? I said, well, not really. I'm not about somebody's church or something. But I said, maybe I should just not go on Sunday. That's what I thought. And there's wild rock music and people cussing and you know, a bunch of drunks hanging around Moose Lodge. And I never did none of that. But I tell you, boy, I knew deep down inside I didn't fit in that atmosphere. And I wish he'd have just said, bless God, no, stay out of that place. That's what I wanted him to say. But he thought he's a young Christian and he can't take it. If a man's sincere, he'll take a straight answer. And I thought, in my heart, I know I'm out of place. I know I ain't got no business being around that type of atmosphere. Where they're raising Cain and part. Now, if you have to deliver stuff there, or you have your job takes you place you have to do, where you have to be around, you ain't much you can do about that. All of you probably work around stuff you'd rather not be around. But brother, if you've got a choice, we don't have to be in that kind of atmosphere. Well, I finally quit. I gave it up. And the Lord helped me. You know where you want God to answer your prayers? Let me give you one more thing and I'm through. I told you this is going to be super short. That's one reason why I want to have all these testimonies and stuff. A wrong relationship between husband and wife. When things ain't right at home, you wouldn't believe the people in this church that I've had tell me, one this week, Brother Danny, we fussed all the way to church tonight. I ain't gonna name no name. I mean, and that happens. The devil knows right when you're getting ready to go to church. I've had people tell me, they said, every Saturday night we get in a big fuss. And she says, I can tell that it's Saturday night because we're trying to get the kids' clothes laid out and get all their baths and get ready for church. The devil hits every time. And boy, you know what? You get that wrong relationship. I hate you too. I wish you was dead. I didn't should have never married. You know, all that kind of stuff. And next thing you know, you start saying, Lord. And the Lord says, nope. Ain't listening. See, when you marry somebody, you are one. Jesus said, they are no more twain, but one flesh. One flesh. Now, if your mate won't get right with you, that's on them. If they won't, that's not your fault. But it's wrong for both of you to deliberately fuss and fight and argue and talk disrespectful to each other all the time and then wonder why God don't answer your prayers. That your prayers be not hindered. I know you can get in some awful messes. I know some people's in a terrible marriage. I know some people that I don't see how they put up with what they put up with. I don't see how some people live with the person they're stuck with. But I do know one thing. You can keep your heart right even if they ain't right. If they won't do right, that's up to them. You keep your heart right, and God will bless you. Don't have sin in your heart. Oh, let me just say this. Don't hold grudges against people. You hold a grudge against somebody. You hold a grudge against somebody, it'll stop God from listening to you like you want Him to. I can't say, like a wife comes home and she wrecks her husband's car and bangs the front end in. And she don't just come in and say, "Well, honey, can I have $100? I want to go shopping." And he said, "Wait a minute. Wait. Whoa. We got something to talk about here first. We got an issue to settle before I start giving you $100. See, you can't just go out and live against God and do what God says don't do and then expect Him to just get hand out stuff to you, whatever you ask for. I had a lady tell me that one time. She said, I said, she'd sinned. And I told her, I said, "Have you got right with God?" And she said, "Well, no, I'm scared to talk to Him. He's mad at me." And I said, "Wait a minute. You ain't going to get your prayers answered till you get right. You got to get right first. It's just like a kid smashing the front window with a rock and then come and say, "Mama's going to get some ice cream." And, whoa. We ain't getting no ice cream. So what do we deal with this breaking this front window? You got to get your heart right with your parents first. You got to get your heart right with your mate. Right with the people. Then we'll go get some ice cream. That's the way it works. Has your prayer life been hindered? Come on, sister. I want her to play softly tonight. I just wanted to just put just a little icing on the cake tonight and say, you know what? God wants to answer our prayers. It ain't His fault. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed. Every head bowed tonight. Every eye closed. She's playing softly.